Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. A little cloudy out there. We got a storm coming in tonight.
Can't wait. Snow? What time is it supposed to snow? I can't wait.
I think it's supposed to start like around 4 or 5 o'clock or so. So you're going to be able to get maybe a little shovel in before you go to bed, or will you wait till early in the morning?
No. At 4 o'clock this afternoon. No, wait. I have a date with my granddaughter, Quinny. I take her to Taekwondo. So I'll leave around 4. But when I come home, I'll put on a hat and mittens, a coat, and I'll just wait with my shovels outside.
You'll just stand by the window.
Just stand there.
Like Emma at the window.
Wait.
Watching the snow come.
Okay.
Waiting for accumulation.
Okay, it's ready. There's an inch. Let's go shovel.
Just sweating. Just in there sweating. Just waiting for it to hit the ground.
Following the Tiger Woods story, the latest is that he is in recovery after surgery where he had multiple open fractures. Had a rod placed in his right tibia, screws and pins inserted in his right ankle. And well wishes coming in from the golf and sports community. And it was already sketchy as to whether or not this guy would ever be able to come back and play regularly. Mm-hmm. Never mind win again with all the back issues he was going with. It just made what he did at the Masters last year just even so much more amazing. But this just adds more to it, and you just wonder if he'll ever really be the same again. So a lot of people pulling for him.
There's no doubt
he's the Pied Piper when it comes to golf. If Tiger's in your tournament, you're big time.
I will tell you that he'll never be the same again. That doesn't mean he can't be good. There's a big difference. Like,
right.
If you're waiting for yourself, I say this to guys all the time, if you're waiting for yourself to be 100% or what you once were, you'll wait yourself right out of an opportunity. You've got to establish whatever your new 100% level is. This is what I am now. This is 100%. And understand that I'm still good enough. Maybe it's 80% or 70% or 60% of what I used to be, but I'm still good enough at that level to compete. So we shall see what ends up happening. But I'm grateful that he's okay. You know, I mean, ultimately, I don't know to what degree he'll recover, but I'm just grateful that he's all right.
Well, the other thing too is that, and I stress this at this point, there is no evidence of any sort of drugs or alcohol involved in it, which has been a problem for him in the past. So It may have been a case of just speeding. By all reports, this is an area where people tend to sometimes hit 80 in a 45, and there have been a number of accidents in that area, so we'll see as the investigation continues to play out. In the meantime, it's the Tell Me Why I'm Wrong Wednesday. Give you a chance to come up with your hot take and have Mark have no choice but to utter those magical words, "You're not wrong." That's whole milk. Hasn't happened yet.
No.
I think we're 0-3 in the first hour.
Yeah.
So let's try to get a few in here. Mark. This is from M. Brown in Windsor, Colorado. Deshaun Watson won't come to the Broncos because of Pat Shurmur being a mediocre OC. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, you're wrong. I mean, they had the sixth-rated offense. They had the sixth-rated offense in Minnesota with Case Keenum. How do we do with Case Keenum? I mean, listen, you can say whatever you want about Pat
Keenum. There's the interception.
You can say whatever you want about Pat Shurmur. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. If you don't have good players, it wasn't Bill Belichick the greatest coach that's ever coached in the history of the National Football League. Would they win last year 6 games, 7 games, something like that? When they lost a quarter? If you don't have the right players, if you don't have the right mix, and I'm not saying that Pat Shurmur is the greatest coordinator ever, but you got great players, guess what? You're going to be okay. So, yeah, I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to sit there and say, you know, I think that if I went out here with Pat Shurmur, it would really hurt my career. I mean, he just came from Bill O'Brien. And Pat Shurmur's done it for a long time. Like, you, again, the Bronco country does not want to hold players accountable. They just won't do it. It's always the coach. Would he come here with wrinkles? How about with Bill Musgrave? Or, you know, what about Mike McCoy? Or would he come here with Rick Dennison? Like, guys, it's not, it's been six coordinators. Come on now. You think it's the coordinator, you think it's the players? Maybe, just maybe, you didn't have the right players.
Look, if Deshaun Watson wants to come here, first of all, it'll be because he likes the offensive personnel that's in place.
Correct.
Not because of who the coach is. Secondly, he would be looking at this as a long-term move. I mean, he wouldn't be looking at this as, hey, I'm just looking to go to Denver to pass on through. So I'm sure that if George Payton was making a hard push for Deshaun Watson, I can see the conversation going a little something like this. Deshaun, hey, I'm a little bit, I'm not a huge, you know, Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, George Payton, don't worry. They won't be here after a year.
Right.
I mean, seriously. I mean, really. I mean, that's... These guys are passing through.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, they've got the feel of guys who are just passing through. They will not be an impediment to landing Deshaun Watson.
Correct.
So, Texter?
You're wrong.
You're wrong. I won't even wait for Mark to say you're wrong.
Yeah, thank
you. I'll tell you, you're wrong. Okay, we've got a lot to get to here. We got claims.
You got a couple good ones?
We got some good ones. We got claims, and tell me why I'm wrong, about Nathan McKinnon and the Avs, Dick Monfort and the Rockies, and Von Miller. Why Von Miller's Bronco run needs to end. Might have a hard time. You might have a hard time finding disagreement with this one. We'll get to it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Having some fun here on a Hump Day Wednesday, playing a little Tell Me Why I'm Wrong, where you come up with your hot takes that we debate, but ultimately you're trying to get Mark to admit you're not wrong.
Yeah.
And we got a variety of texts I want to get to here before four down territory at 7:30, Troy Rink at 7:45. Here's one. The Broncos will not recover from a Deshaun Watson trade because they are way behind on roster building and will struggle to re-sign their homegrown in the coming years. George Payton will have to hit on the third to late round picks for 3 years, and that alone is a tough task to achieve. Mark, tell me why I'm wrong.
All right, so part of your theory, this is why you're wrong, because part of your theory is incorrect. George Payton is going to re-sign his players. He's going to reward the guys because that's what he has a history of doing. And what will be different about the George Payton kind of model is he's not going to let his guys, his young players, he's not going to let them reach free agency or transition or franchise tag.
Hold on. Are you talking about the young players he brings in or the young players he has inherited?
Well, some of the young players that are good players that he's inherited, like Cortland Sutton, like, you know what?
Why hasn't the Simmons deal then been done?
Well, because Simmons wants, you know, Jamal Adams / Buda Baker type money. And listen, you have to be good. But here's my point. If George Payton would have been here, Simmons would have been done at a more reasonable number 2 years early before he was allowed. Well, Elway's deal, and you've seen it. You saw it with Von Miller. You saw it Justin Simmons. You've seen it with multiple players, Demaryius Thomas. You see him not get a deal done early and then let it get to free agency and think that you're going to, like,
Brock Osweiler.
Right. You're going to get the big time like hometown discount. That's right. Not going to work. If you want a hometown discount, if you want to get a guy at a more reasonable cap number, you've got to come to him a year or two early. And this is exactly why I want to bet with DMAC. And DMAC has offered, like, he's invited me to dinner now. I've been invited. So DMAC is definitely.
He's invited you to dinner at what, his house?
No.
Oh, he invited
me.
Take you out.
Yeah, he invited me to Shanahan's on Friday night, but I had my granddaughter spending the night.
Good for him.
Yeah, so he is totally, like, it's on me now. I gotta find a
time. It took me to bring it up that he still owed you the steak.
Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
I kind of forgot about that too, but.
I didn't.
Right.
Which means I should probably be included in this steak.
Yeah, you see, that's.
Like a finder's fee.
You can have some free bread. But it's why I made the bet with him in the first place that the Kansas City Chiefs were gonna find a long-term deal for Mahomes. You know, where he was convinced that they're going to get to the fifth year option and all that baloney, right? No, you're not. You reward your good young players. So to me, that's why I'm not disagreeing that if you gave up the lion's share, here's the other reason the texture's wrong. I don't believe that George Payton is going to give up 3 first rounders and 2 second rounders for Deshaun Watson.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't believe he'll go. I think that's too steep a price to pay. For Peyton.
Okay, what do you believe his line is? We've all thrown out what our lines are. What do you think his line is?
I think it'll be 2 first rounders, you know, maybe a couple second rounders, and then some other.
The parameters of what John McClain in Houston originally threw out, that Houston would be looking for 2 ones, 2 twos, and 2 defensive starters.
Well, I don't even think it'll be. Well, yeah, defensive starter. I don't even think it'll be that. I think it'll be 2 ones and 2 twos and maybe we'll give you a 3 and a 4 and you give us back a 4 and a 5.
Okay, something like that.
But I just don't think when you go down the Minnesota roster and you look at first rounder, second rounder, first rounder, second rounder, second rounder, first rounder, first rounder, second rounder, first rounder, of their starters, that's what it's made of. I just don't believe that you can give up the kind of draft capital that people are throwing around like willy-nilly. And I'm not a 50% of the guys are going to be busts anyhow, right? You look at the top 10.
Yeah.
50% of those guys are busts anyhow. But I'm a believer in, you know, the way you manage your salary structure and also, like, you do the work. Part of the reason that so many people are busts is because they have the DMAC theory. Make a quarterback any quarter, it doesn't matter. You just got to get one in the first round. Well, if that's your, why do you have scouts? If your theory is, hey, just pick any guy, they're all the same, at any position, Mike. So to me, and Cecil said this all the time, and I'll give Cecil Lammy credit. It shouldn't be a 50-50 crapshoot. If you know what you're doing, and you're good at your job, it should not be a 50-50 roll of the dice. The reason it becomes 50-50 is because you take a player because you are so adamant that we need to fill a hole. We gotta fill this hole. And you know what you do? You end up taking players and you hope. And you're like, instead of going, you know what? We need to fill that hole, but that guy is not that good.
Well, Cecil certainly appreciates the nod, so.
Don't listen to Cecil Lammy.
Here's one. Mark, as long as Dick Monfort owns the Rockies will be dead to me. I will never watch another game or go to Coors Field or go to spring training ever again, and people should follow my lead. Tell me why I'm wrong about this.
Because you know what? Afternoon. June. It's beautiful out. I mean, it is gorgeous. One of your favorite teams from your childhood is rolling through town. You'll be sitting right in there, sipping an overpriced beer, eating some peanuts and a hot dog with stinking good green chili on it.
There you go. Here's why he's wrong, is because I'm not going to let Dick Monfort and Jeff Breidich kill my interest in baseball. I'm not going to let them be responsible for driving me completely away from the game. But I'm not going to support them, invest in them, like I normally would if they were good, if they were a competitive team. I got to send a message somehow, and I think guys like that texter want to send a message, but don't let them kill your overall interest in baseball. They're not worth it. So dial back significantly your commitment, how much you'll watch, how much you'll go to, how much you'll spend as your form of protest. But don't, if you genuinely like baseball, don't boycott it entirely, because don't let them be the ones to kill your interest in the game that you love.
I love baseball and I will watch. I'm not happy with it. You know, I'm not happy, but I'll watch because I love baseball.
Yeah, but why do you have to watch them?
Oh, I watch plenty of other teams.
Just watch the Cardinals.
No one.
You know? Watch good baseball. Watch good baseball teams. Right. Watch the Dodgers.
Sure.
Watch the Padres.
Wow.
You wanna really get under a Rockies fan's skin now. It's not even about holding the Dodgers up as though, why can't we be like the Dodgers? Because it's easy for the Rockies to sit back and go, oh, the Dodgers. The Dodgers.
Why can't we be like the Padres?
Like, yeah. Say, hey, wait a minute. Hey, Montfort, Friedrich, why can't we be like the Padres? That's a much tougher one to defend. All right, Four Down Territory coming up. The latest on Von Miller. Why Big Ben is likely to stay a Steeler. And Cam Newton says Bill Belichick is what? We'll tell you next.
And he's loose!
This is Four Down Territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
You want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Here goes Cam again. Across the middle, that's the tight end, Izzo. Oh, the ball loose, picked up by Justin Simmons. There he goes the other way. Zuber throws him down. That's a turnover, the second today by New England.
Westwood won there with the call. You said something interesting that I want to expand upon, that you believe George Payton will be different from John Elway in that he'll do a better job of getting the young talent signed and won't let him get to the point that we're at with Justin Simmons, where he's getting ready to be franchise tagged for the second straight year. But what makes you so confident that George Payton won't look at, let's say, Justin Simmons the same way that the Broncos and John Elway looked at him and said, look, really good player, and for the role that he excels at, he's a good, solid, you know, $11 to $12 million per year guy. But if you're telling me, is he one of those safeties that comes down in the box and really disrupts the game like a Jamal Adams or even a Kareem Jackson, those guys get paid $14, $15 million, and Justin Simmons isn't one of those guys. So, George, why wouldn't George Payton draw the same conclusion that John Elway did?
Oh, but listen, I think he will. I don't think that John was wrong in his assessment of who Justin Simmons is. The difference is you go into that fourth year going into it saying, hey, listen, we're going to pay you $11 million a year. And here's the contract offer. And you weigh that with, wait a minute, I'm going to get however many million, 25 million up front or what. You know, I don't know what the contract parameters are, but you know what I'm saying. And it's going to average, the deal's going to average $11 million a year, and I'm going to get a bunch of upfront money that's going to be generational changing money. Or you're going to make me play for an entire year at whatever my third round, you know, whatever my third round salary is, a fraction of what you're willing to pay me on a long-term deal, and I'm going to get this guaranteed money up front without any risk of losing it because of injury. Like, if you do that early, now if you wait until week 11 when the guy's on an all-pro season and say, hey, now we want to do it before he becomes a free agency, you know what he's going to tell you? Pound sand. I'll play it out from this point forward. So That's the difference.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
You know, I still have a year left on my contract. I hope the Steelers want me back if that's the way we go. And there'll be a lot of discussions, but now's not the time for that.
Well, Steeler country, it looks like Big Ben had that conversation with Art Rooney II and his agent. And it seems like Ben is more than willing to play ball with Pittsburgh to lower his astronomical cap hit from $41 million next year. Lower it. Make it more team friendly. So it looks like Big Ben will be back with the Steelers. Where are the Steelers at? After a year in which they started out, 11-0? And every week, guys like you and I are saying, boy, this is the shakiest looking 7-0 team I've ever seen. Boy, yeah. This is the most fraudulent 8-0 team I've ever seen. Boy, this is the most suspect 9-0 team I've ever seen. And we ended up being proven right. So what are they? Who are they? Who's Ben Roethlisberger?
I think they're a team that has a lot of talent, but they don't win the physical battles. And ultimately, you'll win a lot of games. You'll out-talent people occasionally. But when you play a team that's willing to go toe-to-toe and punch you in the mouth, they can't hold up. Does that make sense? They're a team that just quit running the football, just decided, nah, that's not who we want to be. And I tell you what, those things, those are skills that need to be worked on when you just give up on them and say, we're not going to do it. Boy, when you play a team that will play that style of football, you're going to get your butt whipped. That's how it works.
Next in four down territory.
Third down. 2 years ago, I was sitting in a wheelchair wondering, had the life I had known changed forever? Anger, pity, self-doubt. Why me? These were feelings that I had at certain points throughout my career. But this time, it wasn't about football. It was bigger. It was about me being a father to play with my children, a husband to go on walks with my wife, and despite my new limitations, me getting my life back.
Alex Smith, talking about winning the Comeback Player of the Year. Interesting interview he conducted with GQ Magazine, to which Mark subscribes, said that his comeback threw a wrench in the Washington football team's plans. Said, quote, they didn't see it. Didn't want me there. Didn't want me to be a part of it. Didn't want me to be on the team, the roster. Didn't want to give me a chance. They did not want me there. Wow. Alex Smith has a $24 million cap hit this year. Washington would save almost $14 million if they released them. You know, we talk about all these potential veteran quarterbacks who could come in with the idea that they would get a chance to challenge for the starting job. But if not, if you get beat out by Drew Locke, settle into a mentor role, backup. Could do a lot worse than going with Alex Smith if he's out there, huh?
Oh, I love Alex Smith. I just don't think Alex Smith can answer the bell on a week-to-week basis. I think it showed last year that they're coming. I mean,
yeah, but give him an off-season to just be able to go out and get in shape and get stronger. All he's done for the last couple of years is rehab.
Well, I understand that, but I think that's a process that will continue throughout the rest of his career. But from a mentor, from a knowledge of the game standpoint, what an invaluable. And I talked to Matt Nagy about it because he was in Kansas City. The head coach of the Chicago Bears was in Kansas City when they drafted Mahomes. And he raved about Alex Smith and the mentorship that he gave to Mahomes that helped him get to this point. So, yeah, I would love that veteran of June, middle of the June veteran.
Hey, forgot your own invention.
I forgot my own term.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down. I think Bill Belichick is the most misunderstood person in all of sports.
100%.
He is a cool dude. He understands the game. He's like an historian of the game. And for you to just sit down and chat with him, like, it's like, damn, like, he's going back and he's got film, like, literally teaching the game.
Yeah, I like football season and all the things that go with it.
Cam Newton on a recent podcast saying Bill Belichick not only is misunderstood, but that Bill Belichick is dope.
He's funny, man. Bill's a piece of work now.
Really? A piece of work?
Oh, yeah. Well, he is a historian of the game. He's actually funnier than you think. He's real dry. He quizzes dudes in the hallway, every position. Like you walk down the hallway and you bump into Bill, and he'll just stop you and start quizzing you
on football knowledge. All right, so the perception is that's a miserable place to play, and he's a miserable guy to play for. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Because it's not. I mean, it's very demanding, and I think over time it wears you out because he's just the ultimate grinder. But he's funny. It's a strange juxtaposition, you know? I mean, I know that he has a hell of a lot more personality than people give him credit for. I know that.
You've never done a New England game, have you, since?
No, I have
you
not.
You started doing TV.
No.
That'd be one I'd be really curious. If you ever got a chance to do it.
Sit down with Bill?
Sit down with Bill and what your impressions would be coming away after that.
I would love to sit down with Bill.
You guys would just start swapping NFC East stories, Giants, Washington. You'd start talking about going up against LT.
And oh, yeah.
He would just start beaming and he'd start
I would tell him about the counter outside that we put in.
You guys
and
would
went
be,
for 15.
You guys
and
would Bill, become
and,
buddies.
Oh, my gosh. And then LT tried to, like, literally, he threatened murder.
Their PR guy would come in and go, Bill needs to move. No, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Stink chopping it up.
Yeah.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Coming up, Troy Rank helps us make sense of what the latest is with Von Miller's legal affairs. That's next. Set to welcome in our Denver 7 insider, Troy Rank. He is presented, as always, by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. And, Troy, one of the things I love about you is you can take something that's kind of complex and sort of lay it all out in terms we can understand. So can you do that with what's going on right now with the latest with Von Miller's legal affairs?
Yeah, it's an unusual case. You know, when Parker Police on January 15th made public that Von was under investigation without revealing the nature of that, that's odd. And then yesterday they made it public that they have turned their findings over to the DA's office. And by doing so, obviously they believe there's a case there, that there's some criminality, and it then leaves it up to the DA to decide whether to file charges on Vaughn. But Parker Police are not describing the nature of the potential crime. And leaving everything now up to the DA. And it's just, I don't know that in 30 years of covering professional sports, I've ever covered a case where it was announced that someone was under investigation without charges filed, or that it was made public that they had turned it over to the DA's office without, the charges being filed subsequently, like that, you know, almost simultaneously. But where it stands now with Vaughn is it's up to the DA's office to decide whether to file charges. You don't have to in these cases. It happens all the time where a case can be turned over and then charges are not filed. In Vaughn's case, it just complicates his situation that was already clouded with uncertainty. You know, he's coming off a season where he didn't play. He's going to be 32 in March. And the previous season, he had 8 sacks, his lowest total since 2013. So, you know, it's hard to see him coming back to the Broncos at $18 million. Would they then ask him for a pay cut? There has not been that talk yet. But if they do, they have to be prepared for Vaughn to say no. And then he could become a free agent. He could, you know, say, hey, just go ahead and cut me. I'd rather, you know, test it in free agency. But everything about this case has been unusual in regards to the way it has played out publicly. And the reason it's been in the news, whereas cases like this would not be, is because these things are done behind closed doors. It's not made public. And once it was made public, it becomes a news story because it's out there that, you know, one of the biggest stars in franchise history is under investigation and now has a case waiting on the intake box for the DA's office. But again, it's important to state here, no charges have been filed. In my reporting with Denver 7, we've determined that the woman who's the target of the investigation, or the subject, excuse me, of the investigation, is this former fiance. She stated on January 15th there was no violence in her relationship with Vaughn, and that they were moving forward beyond the social media stuff. So that's where it stands now. No charges have been filed, and it's sitting there on the DA's desk, if you will, waiting to see if charges will be filed.
Based on your reporting and based on the cases you've covered in the past, odds that the DA pursues this, do you have any gut feeling or gut reaction?
You know, what makes this different is this is a brand new DA who was elected, I believe, on took office on the 1st of January or thereabouts. So it's hard to predict. This is a new person in that role. And the more difficult thing, Mark, is we don't really know the full nature of the allegations toward Vaughn. And is it domestic abuse, which is what we were told there was some form of that on January 15th, but what? Is it verbal? Is it physical? Is it what? We don't know that. And so in absence of that, it's hard to predict. We do know that Vaughn has a strong attorney in Harvey Steinberg, and that he has not said anything. And the Parker police have been the ones that have, you know, made this a public issue. So it's just difficult to say at this point, not knowing the specificity or nature of the allegations that they're looking into regarding a potential crime. It is really hard to predict. But the important thing is to say here, no charges have been filed against Vaughn, and that's why it's unusual. Usually in these cases, you don't hear about any of this until charges are filed. And this is playing out publicly without charges being filed, which is, again, not something I've covered in covering legal issues with professional sports.
Visitor Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, where would you place the odds that the Broncos and George Payton work out a long-term deal with Justin Simmons?
I think it's better than 50-50. I don't know how much better, but, you know, in the case of Simmons, having a new GM helps him. You know, I think if John Elway stayed, I think that would have helped Von Miller, given their relationship and just kind of inherent knowledge of institutional knowledge of one another. In the case of Simmons, he fits what George Payton is doing. You know, he wants to do draft and develop second contract guys and, you know, everything right about the organization, homegrown. That's Simmons. You know, is he worth number one safety money? That's been the rub. John Elway was not going to set a record with Simmons last year and, you know, get him more money than Eddie Jackson. But free agency is all about timing. Whether I consider, if anyone considers Justin the number one safety, he has the right to ask it because he's entering the market after a Pro Bowl berth and an All-Pro honor. So I just think it makes sense for both sides to get a deal done, because to franchise tag him a second time at $13.7 million, there's no elasticity to that number. That is the number against the cap. If you get a long-term deal done, like in Bowles' case, Bowles is going to count $5 million toward the cap this coming season. You could do the same thing with Simmons because you spread the signing bonus out and the guarantee over, you know, 4 or 5 years. I just think this feels different than it did a year ago. That it feels like whether they could get it done before March 9th, I don't know that. There hasn't been any like real movement in that regard yet. But you can tag him and then get a deal done before July 15th, and it just feels different than it did a year ago.
Yeah, it certainly does. Hey, Troy, man, you're the best. We really appreciate you, buddy.
You got it. Take care.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. It is a Tell Me Why I'm Wrong Wednesday, giving you a chance to, well, come up with a hot take that Mark has no choice but to say, you know what? You're not wrong. You're right. That's whole milk. So far, today, zero.
Right.
All right, here's one for you. We'll bounce here, some different ones. Nathan MacKinnon will end up going down as the best Avalanche player ever. Mark, tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, you can't even enter that conversation until you go to a Stanley Cup, win a Stanley Cup. I mean, you got to look at the guys like, you know, like Sakic and like Patrick Waugh. And I mean, come on. Like, seriously, even Footer and Bork and Blake and all the guys. I mean, come on, Forsberg. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop. You got to win something.
Unfortunately,
you can make an argument he's the most talented, or, you know, you can make those arguments if you want, but you can't. You can't even start to talk about the best ever until you put some championship pelts on the wall.
And maybe that's unfair to Nathan MacKinnon because...
Doesn't matter.
All those great players you talked about had great players around them, but, fact is...
Will Aaron Rodgers ever go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history? He'll be talked as one of the great quarterbacks in the history, but he'll never enter the argument with Montana or Brady or guys that have multiple championships.
Yeah, he won't sit at the big boy table.
No.
That's what made this year so disappointing for him, because it looked like this could have been the year.
Right.
That he had his
enters
best chance.
Enters the big boy table.
But yeah, as far as Nathan MacKinnon is concerned, yeah, you unfortunately play for a franchise that, just had just insane talent, all-star talent, Hall of Fame talent. So where's the bar set? Well, I'd start with you got to win a Stanley Cup and be the Conn Smythe winner as the MVP of said Stanley Cup run. Do that, then you enter the conversation. I mean, that's the thing about how difficult you're talking about here. You're then allowed to enter the conversation if you win a Stanley Cup and are the MVP in leading the Avalanche to a Stanley Cup. Then you're in the conversation.
Is Wah the greatest Avalanche of all time?
Wow. I mean, his trade changed everything. Changed everything. Yeah.
Dude, his attitude. His... It's just
we saw that on display firsthand, didn't we?
I used to love Patrick would come into studio, and he was so easily triggered. You and I are a couple of children. Okay, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
And we'll see what reaction
we get.
Yeah. Because you know he's going to drop him. Drop a couple of bombs.
Oh, he did. He did. Those of you who listened on the stream, you got the unedited version, and that was always the best. Here's another one. Bubble Boy Murray is back, and he's back for good. Mark, tell me why I'm wrong.
Because he's Murray. I mean, listen. He has stretches where he is outstanding. But if you think that he is going to be a consistent scorer, that he is going to consistently get shots off. He's going to consistently put up points. He's going to consistently dominate. I don't believe that's who he is.
Well, there's no doubt that he's in one of his hot spots right now.
Sure.
Last seven games, he's averaging about 30 points per game.
Right.
He's looking for his shot. He's been very aggressive. He's had, shot total games. Just the last four games alone, 18, 20, 25, 25. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely looking for his offense more, which is why George Karl, our Nuggets insider, has always said that the Nuggets would be better off if they had a pure point guard that allowed Jamal Murray just to be basically a shooting guard.
Right.
And I think that Jamal sometimes gets caught between, hey, is it my time now to be a point guard and a distributor and to get people involved? Right. Now it's my time to look for my offense and go off and take charge. Hey, he's just a better player, and the Nuggets are a better team when he is in heat-seeking mode.
Right. When he's an off-the-ball player, not on-the-ball player, right? Like when he is...
He's looking to score.
Well, what I'm saying is when he is not loaded down with the responsibility of being, you know, the point shooting guard. To have a, like you said, and like George Karl has told us many times, to have a legitimate point guard. Anyhow.
Mark, you and I are about the same age.
Exactly, George.
Mark.
Identical.
I think you made DeHuff soft when you broke his ribs. Before that, I don't remember DeHuff missing much, especially zoo events. Stink, I think you broke his ribs and weakened DeHuff's whole immune system. Tell me why I'm wrong. It's a good point. Yes, he might have you here. DeHuff has not been the same since the infamous rib incident. His whole body has sort of rebelled against him. DeHuff, is that true?
Oh, hey guys. It's a lot of effort just to turn on the microphone these days.
What was the question, Mike? Sorry, I blacked out.
Nah, I'm joking.
Texter believes that your whole immune system has been adversely affected by Mark breaking your rib, that you've never been the same since, and that leads to all the colds and strep throats. And
speaking of that, I think I have a fever.
Yeah.
Oof. On a Wednesday?
I know. It's usually reserved for Friday.
Really, that's a feeling feverish Friday.
Yeah. It's a feeling weak Wednesday.
Yes. Tickle in your throat Thursday leads to I'm off because I'm feeling feverish Friday.
And possibly mono Mondays.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, the Huff has always been soft. He has always been soft. So the texter is just wrong.
Well. Thanks, Texter, for trying.
Nice try. All right.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.